You found it. The best place for live, local, conservative talk in the morning. The Commute with Carlson. Stimulating, entertaining, and making a difference. Here's John Carlson on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
The big government crowd in Washington manipulated the numbers in order to get their bill passed and to increase power and influence.
That's my new best friend, Jeff Sessions, senator from Alabama, and he's not talking about sequester. Don't worry, we will get into sequester later on in the show. What he's talking about here is the Affordable Care Act, i.e. Obamacare. And some bad news here for the president. It turns out that the Affordable Care Act that he said would reduce the federal budget deficit will, according to brand new numbers just in by the Government Accounting Office, the GAO, they're the auditing agency for government. According to these guys, it spikes. Let me say that again. It spikes the federal deficit. We're talking over the next three generations, an average, mind you, of $82 billion additional deficits every year for the next 75 years. That's $6.2 trillion. This is not getting nearly as much attention as it deserves, but of course, with the enlightened listening masses who have a strong work ethic, which you do if you're at work at this hour or getting ready for work, you get to know about it. Here is Jeff Sessions.
At the signing ceremony for the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, the president claimed that his law would, quote, lower costs for families and for businesses and for the federal government. The president went on to say, quote, it is paid for. It is fiscally responsible. But the GAO's investigation reveals these claims to be false. According to GAO, under a realistic set of assumptions, the health care law will increase the deficit by 0.7% of GDP, or roughly $6.2 trillion over the next 75 years. $6.2 trillion unfunded liability of the United States.
That averages out to $82 billion. The exact amount of money that the sequester is going to hit, $80 billion. Of course, it's half that this year because by the time it kicks into the fiscal year, it'll be half over. But yes, that's what we're looking at here. $82 billion in additional because of Obamacare.
In other words, the GAO reveals that the big tax increases in the bill come nowhere close to covering the even more massive spending. Again, $6.2 trillion is only a fraction of what the bill will spend, but that number is how much new deficit spending, excluding interest costs, will result despite trillions in new taxes. The big government crowd in Washington manipulated the numbers in order to get the financial score they wanted, in order to get their bill passed, and to increase power and influence.
Thank you, my new best friend, Jeff Sessions. Okay, so here's where this takes us. The Affordable Care Act was passed in order to make health care coverage more affordable and to lighten the overall financial burden on government while expanding access to health care. Here is instead what it is delivering. Again, we're talking about reality versus promises. Reality, you just heard. $6.2 trillion in additional deficits, an average of $82 billion a year for the next 75 years. Reality number two, healthcare spending per family, we were told, would go down as a result of the Affordable Care Act, about $2,000. Instead, it's gone up more than $2,500. So, deficits up, healthcare spending up. Well, at least I get to see my doctor. No. That's not assured either, and it's less likely than it was before the Affordable Care Act, because the Affordable Care Act actually provides an incentive. It encourages your employer to drop you. Drop you from the company plan, pay a $2,000 fee or tax or fine. They keep changing the terminology so they could get its constitutionality squeezed through the door. And call it good. And, you know, why would they, you know, drop you under Obamacare but not before Obamacare? Because Obamacare is setting up two safety nets. The first are these healthcare exchanges where you would have to go and look for a government-approved plan. And secondly, they're radically expanding the definition of Medicaid. That's the healthcare coverage for the poor. So that you would be able to access, one out of three Washingtonians would be able to access Medicaid. So your employer has, do I want to keep paying $12,000 or more to insure each of my workers, my, you know, 22 workers, or do I just drop them and instead I end up being able to pay, you know, 1/6 of that amount, and they can fend for themselves. They've set up these exchanges for them, so I don't feel guilty. Then, of course, there's the other provision of the Affordable Care Act, where a lot of companies are now refusing to hire that 50th worker because that will trigger the Obamacare restriction or Obamacare requirements. So you may have heard of some people out there who were working 40 hours. Now you're working 29 hours. Or they're just simply laying off people, period, consolidating their work among other employees so they can avoid hiring that 50th worker. So anyway, just wanted to brighten up your morning. Let you know that the Obamacare Act is working even worse than the Republicans had predicted when they were going through the drill of getting it passed in the first place. Okay, and while we're talking about the president, rather than negotiating eyeball to eyeball with Congress, president left D.C. for a photo op, decided to visit a Virginia shipyard, telling the shipbuilders that they will be furloughed unless taxes are once again raised on the rich so we can avoid sequestration.
All we're asking is that they close loopholes for the well-off and the well-connected, for hedge fund managers or oil companies or corporate jet owners who are all doing very well and don't need these tax loopholes, so we can avoid laying off workers or kicking kids off Head Start or reducing financial aid for college students.
See, I don't know if that line is going to work as well this time as it worked during the campaign and as it worked during the fiscal cliff. Because, number one, most Americans out there think we've got a spending problem. Most Americans out there, regardless of party, think we have a spending problem. And they know we haven't really been cutting spending. Spending continues to rise. They do know that we've raised taxes. They know we raised taxes on the rich because it was all in the headlines. Of course, Republicans have to consistently remind people of that because people do have short memories. And number two, they've looked at their own paychecks and they see that their Social Security tax went back up from 4.2% to 6.2%. Again, that's the president saying that tax loopholes are to blame for the sequester crisis. He was talking at Newport News Shipbuilding. They employ about 21,000 people in Virginia, one of their largest industrial employers.
Loopholes
in Virginia. Now, on Fox News, here's Charles Krauthammer, who says, you know what? Call the man's bluff.
Well, he did it again. He went back to the corporate jet loophole. Well, I did the math on the way over. If you collect it for 100 years, it will not cover a month of Obama spending.
What was it Bill Clinton said during the convention his convention speech, the Democratic National Convention? Arithmetic! So, if you do the arithmetic, as Charles Krauthammer did, and most members of Congress have not, you see that the whole corporate jet loophole is just so much hokum that it pays for next to nothing.
Loopholes. Okay.
Let's get back to more of what Krauthammer had to say.
And it shows that when he talks about loopholes, all he's interested in is raising taxes so that he can spend. Ordinarily, it's Republicans who've been interested in closing loopholes ever since the 86 tax reform, where Reagan and Tip O'Neill and Rothenkowski, the leading Democrats, agreed on the ultimate in tax reform, which is you close loopholes and you use that to lower rates. And what you get is a quarter century of economic expansion as a result. Obama wants to close loopholes not so he can encourage economic expansion with lower rates of taxation. He wants it so he can spend it on entitlements. He is the entitlement president.
Now, do we have that bit from Deval Patrick that we ran? It's a short 10-12 second clip where he was on Meet the Press, and he drove this point home, and I played that clip several times yesterday to say, look what this is all about. The reason why they say they want to close loopholes is not to skinny the deficit. It's to, quote, make investments in our infrastructure that will strengthen our economy, close quote. In other words, we need to grow the government if we want to grow the economy. That's an interesting assumption. And that will necessitate more government spending. Anyway, you got 16 minutes after 5 in the morning. We're ahead of the rest of the crowd there. Still haven't woken up, but we're wide awake here. Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Now, as the time looms, the president does exactly what he continues to do. He does a roadshow. The fundamental question here the president has to decide: does he want to be president of a political party, or does he want to be president of the United States?